It's a pleasure to be talking to my special guest, guitarist Ken Balbus from Oriental Metal Pioneers Overland. Hi and welcome. How are you?
Woohoo! Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. I'm having a nice day. How are you?
Good, good, yeah, not too bad, thank you. Okay, so starting with what's already looking at being a highly acclaimed album, Unsung Prophets and Dead Messiahs. It was released at the end of January and you've already done live shows with it in Europe. So what are your thoughts about its reception from fans up to now?
They clearly hated it. No, just joking. So far, I'm quite proud with the reception of the audience. They loved it when we just released the first single to the second single and the third single. I didn't expect that. I thought that people would kind of won't accept it because they liked the previous members and they were not trusting like me and the other guys, the new members, to bring something that is authentic Orphanland. And we pretty much succeeded to do our jobs and we brought, if not the best Orphanland album. So people love it. People sing it in shows already. I'm proud.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So as a very brief description for any metal fans who may not know, the album's concept one based around the story of the cave by Plato, and it's a really powerful statement about humanity today. So can you tell me a bit about the journey from this idea to the creation of the album?
The idea of this album actually came last.
Right.
The music existed for like just after All Is One, and we just pretty much figured out what else can we talk about. We said it all. We pretty much got it all figured, so what can we talk about that is not the same stuff we talked about before? And after writing the music and processing it like for throughout 5 years, the idea of the cave pretty much dropped out of nowhere, and we were like, oh wow, that pretty much resembles life as they are now, and this idea is like 3,000 years old.
Yeah.
And as Plato was talking back then, it pretty much is accurate to these days, as people are living in a cave and they still don't open their eyes.
Yeah, definitely. So then what was the process after that? You know, I mean, do you all sort of just get together and write together?
The process was pretty much the same for the past two albums. We just composed the music at home, like either at my studio, a dance studio, or I don't know, just humming to the phone in the middle of the road and having those random ideas that we eventually gather up and puzzle them. And when we finally have the concept, we can pretty much sort the songs as in their order in the album, because even if there are no lyrics in the album, you could still feel the music as it would tell the story.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did the special guests happen? Because you've got three guests, Steve Hackett, Hansi Kirsch and Thomas Lindberg. So it's quite a mixture of people there.
Yeah, we paid them loads of money. Steve Hackett, Kobe was singing as a guest on his solo album, and
yeah,
he asked Kobe if he wants to have a guest solo or to get money, and obviously Kobe went for money. Okay, he got a guest solo because, you know, a guest solo would be timeless, it would be a part of history. You could say that Steve Hackett played on your album,
yeah,
the guy from Genesis. And Hansi is a friend of ours. We toured together with Blind Guardian, became really good friends, and we love him as a singer. And it was just natural when we heard the song like Orpheus. We just could imagine him singing, and we asked him if he wants to sing, and he just did it.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Oh, and of course, Thomas Lindberg, you know, we're a fan of At the Gates, like, since the early days, so luckily, he joined us on board and he did his lunatic part.
Yeah, which is great, yeah. It's worked out really well, definitely. Yeah, and you also worked with Jens Bogren.
Oh yeah, second time.
Hmm.
Third time would be a charm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you've got a good partnership there with him, yeah.
He did like, he was more involved in the production process this time, unlike All This One, which we already had the album produced, so he brought a lot of himself into this album, and I'm glad with what he done.
Yeah, yeah, he's done a great job. Okay, so... Orphanland are well known for breaking boundaries of racial and religious divide and are recognised for bringing people together, which is such a fantastic thing in our world, which can be so evil, as we know. So it must be a great feeling to see that happening with fans.
Yeah, pretty much every time we go in concert and we're like asking, all right, we're Orphanland from Israel, are there any Muslims, Arabic people in the crowd, lift your flags, tell from where you're from, and you just see like people coming from countries that they're pretty much our neighbor countries, you know, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, all of those countries that they're like an hour drive from where I live, and I can never actually visit there, but I see those guys in other countries, so it's something that our politicians and all those ambassadors could never achieve with all that money they got there. And all those fancy talks at the UN, and we just did it with goddamn heavy metal.
Yeah, yeah, which is fantastic. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we won't go much into it, as you must have spoken at length about it, but there are still people who challenge or even threaten the band. I've seen comments myself on Facebook posts, for example. They don't understand what Orphanland are about. How do you deal with that kind of stuff? Do you just ignore it?
Personally, you would try, depends on the type of comment. If it's like a stupid comment, I wouldn't even bother. Like,
yeah.
There are idiots everywhere, but if it's someone that really talking in a way that you can have a discussion with him and maybe change his mind, I would gladly talk, but if it's just a random idiot, I won't even bother.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's not worth the time, is it? So, yeah, but hopefully they are in the minority.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, moving on to the recent All Is One documentary, which is available on YouTube if people haven't seen it. It's a very open and honest insight into all your lives. How was it going through that filming process?
Honestly, I'm quite... feeling awkward having a camera pointed at me, but I'm good with exposing my life. I don't think of course everyone has their private lives, but I don't mind exposing mine. So I felt really good about it, to show people where I live, what I do every day, and like everyone can see our environment and they can open their eyes about Israel and the people inside it, because Israel is conceived in a really bad manner around the world. So I'm glad we had the chance to show a different way.
Yeah, definitely. It's really nice for people to see. What kind of feedback have you had from people?
That is pretty much the best documentary they've ever seen. Like, it's very enlightening.
Yeah.
So this is pretty much the comments I vote for.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. I mean, lots of bands have done sort of fly-on-the-wall kind of documentaries, but I don't think I've ever seen one as detailed as that, in depth as that, you know.
Yeah, totally. You don't really get to see the basic documentaries just follow up the band and how they got drunk and how they had sex with those girls and got wasted there and there.
Yeah.
This is like more meaningful about something that really no one knows what's going on in this region.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, you're doing great. Hopefully it will bring more understanding eventually.
Amen.
Yeah. So let's talk about touring. You're a very busy band. You've already done your European tour in February and March, and next you're off to Russia and Japan, and then the USA with Tear in May. So how are you feeling about playing all those different stages?
Just calculating all that time spent on the road, pretty much I think I'm not going to get 5 years older in a few months. gotta say, I love it. I love touring. I love seeing different places, different cultures.
Yeah.
Like, by now, I'm 25 today, and I'm feeling a difference between, like, a few years ago when we just started touring. I get a little bit tired, but it's a good tired. Yeah. I prefer having that than a regular job.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you've been all around the world, haven't you? So it's a fantastic experience, definitely.
Yeah.
Do you see much differences between the crowds in the different countries?
Quite a lot, definitely, quite a lot. Some are more preserved, conservative, and some are more, it feels like a stadium, like I would say. The more like Latin people would be like, it feels like a soccer stadium in every show there.
Yeah.
Like Spain, Portugal, and when you go to Switzerland, they are happy on the inside.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Great to see those differences. So what's your favorite place to play? Have you got one?
My favorite place to play, I'm thinking it might be Germany, probably the USA first, but if we're going for Europe, I'll pick the USA, Germany.
Yeah. Anywhere in particular, just the country as a whole?
Just the country, because they have a good metal community. They are most open about metal, and it's like they got it all figured. The rest are like, not sure about their metal scene, but Germany is pretty much all about metal.
Yeah, true. A lot of great metal bands from there.
Yeah.
So is there somewhere that you haven't performed yet that you'd like to?
Argentina.
Right.
I haven't played there, and I would pretty much love to, because, you know, I'm into Latin stuff and Latin people, and all of South America is amazing. We covered a few countries, but never Argentina.
Right, and
there is so good music, so much good music there, good food, good people. I get most of the time lots of Facebook messages from people in Argentina.
Yeah.
So we hope to visit them as well.
Oh, hopefully, and they do love the metal over there, don't they? So, crazy crowds.
Indeed.
Yeah, and of course you're back to see us in the UK at Bloodstock in August, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that one actually. I had fun last time.
Yeah, it's a few years ago now, isn't it? So, yeah.
Yeah, maybe like 4 years, something like that.
Yeah, so. So that'll be great. It's a great festival, so. Yeah, look forward to that one. So, staying with the live shows, you have a very special one coming up for the official album launch on the 25th of April, which is at an open-air fortress. So, can you tell me more about that and what the audience can expect?
Yeah, indeed. We had that, we had the last show we had there was a dedicated to our album, Abu. And it's a huge place, it's beautiful, and it had like a Greek-Roman atmosphere, you know, with all those ruins around.
Wow.
And this time we're gonna go big, and we have like special Israeli guests, and we have a huge choir behind us. So it's gonna be a big party. I'm looking forward to that one, because playing in front of our home audience is always a blast.
Yeah, that's gonna be great. So what about the rest of the fans around the world who won't see it? Will it be filmed?
I'm hoping to, we're working on having it like maybe broadcasted live or just filmed for like some clips.
Yeah.
I hope we'll manage that part by then.
Yeah. Oh, great. So, cool. That's something to look forward to. So what else is coming up for Orphanland after the summer then, when you've done the festivals and all that's done? What's the plan for the band?
Oh, yeah, we're going to quit after that. We're just gonna plan the next leg of the European tour, maybe like do some new locations. We're pretty much working on it right now, and we're already actually writing the new album as we speak.
Really?
We don't want to let people wait for 5 years again.
Yeah. Oh,
so we better start.
Yeah. So you've already written some stuff already?
Yeah, there are a couple of tracks already here and there, like snippets. But we'll get to there eventually. First, we gotta rock the world.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Okay. So moving on to you, you've also got rock and roll band The Secret Saints, and you've released a couple of singles at the start of the year. So can you tell me what's happening at the moment there?
And the thing, when you come to The Secret Saints, this is like my band, so I pretty much set the schedule.
Yeah.
So they're like, when I'm not doing Orphanland, I'm doing The Secret Saints. So we're like recording some music right now, maybe getting ready for some TV show that offered us like to be like in a special slot. So I'm pretty much open for everything. Like for our first show, we opened for Guns N' Roses, so everything is like expected from now on.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Never know.
That must have been a great experience.
Oh yeah, like never expected that like ever, but yeah, totally.
Yeah, fantastic. So can we expect an album and a tour maybe in the future?
Yeah, definitely. Working on that part.
Ah, okay. So stay tuned for that one. So, okay, to finish off, would you like to leave a message for your fans and the listeners?
Yeah, I would. So if you're listening right now and you enjoy the conversation by now, I would like to tell you guys to be good people. And you don't have to like one another, you don't have to do anything, you just have to respect one another. That's so easy. So please do that. We're all different and it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, great message. Thank you very much for your time and good luck with all the touring.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you.